This podcast is brought to you by Mezcala Nursery, located at 6901 Orange Avenue, Long Beach, California, 90805. Mezcala, family-owned, family-ran since 2007. This place is my happy place, you guys. I'm there all the time. It's a giant piece of property full of greenhouses packed to the brim of everything you can possibly imagine, from your landscaping needs to houseplants to cactus and succulents. They even have a greenhouse solely dedicated to rare and obscure collector specimens. I'm talking, I've seen Monstera albos there. I've seen Thai constellations there. Rare collector specimens that I can't even find online, I find them there. If you head over to their Instagram, at Mezcala Nursery, they keep their stories updated daily of these plants that can come and go really quick. You could miss it. Make sure to go check it out. Not only that, they treat you like family. I bring my kids with me, you guys, and I always have an amazing experience. Such great customer service, so helpful, so knowledgeable, and prices that can't be beat. Bring them a price from another nursery, they'll beat it. Bring them a price from a big box store, they're gonna beat it. 6901 Orange Avenue, Long Beach, California, 90805. Mezcala Nursery. Tell them I sent you. Welcome back, everybody, to If Plants Could Talk. This is Garrett. I'm your host. I just want to start by thanking everybody that tuned into our previous episode. I got a lot of amazing feedback, and I'm just really grateful that anybody spent an hour listening to this podcast. And today's guest, Variegated Troy, truly inspirational man, very interesting, and I relate to him a lot with some of the stuff from our pasts and how we've overcame and turned it into something positive and beautiful. And this man is truly an artist. I can tell by the way that he thinks and articulates things that he's a very creative man and very passionate about what he does. So just super stoked, you guys. Thank you so much. Here's Troy. Where are you from, brother?
I actually am from Hawaii.
Oh, wow. Really?
I'm from Honolulu, Hawaii, the island of Oahu. I was actually born and raised there. I've only been out here maybe like about 5 years now. So okay. It's pretty new. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I had no idea.
Yeah. It's definitely different. I don't run into a bunch of people that are from Hawaii, but it's nice, man. It's taught me a lot. It's taught me a lot about how to treat people. People that I find back home, they're really easy to live with. You know,
that people explains your vibe a lot, actually, like, because everything's nice and slow. Nobody's in a rush. And that's the kind of the vibe I got from you while we were planning this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so true. When I came out here, that was, a lot of adjusting to realize life in the fast lane is really true.
Yeah.
Coming from growing up, every year, you know, everything is kind of stays stagnant, if you will, but over here things move really fast, and if you can't keep up, you fall into maybe not good habits.
Yeah, for sure. I
much easier
to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I identify with that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So how long have you been into like plants and cactus? And
you know what, cactus are really new for me. Cactus. Oh, really? And yeah, the succulent thing, those types of plants, really, it's just going over a year now.
Okay.
Yeah, but other plants, medicinal plants, uh-huh, and tropical plants, flowers, I've always been very much into. My family is really into that. Several of them. My dad's older brother, he really tripped me out with a lot of yard work. It would be, you know, when I was a kid, like, we got to do some fucking yard work and pull weeds. And those are things that I dreaded being a kid, but when I look back, that's times that I really appreciate. My other uncles that I had, they didn't take the time to go pull weeds with me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that's a much more of a bonding experience than you realize when you're a kid.
And it's a sense of discipline too, right?
Oh, big time. Yeah, it's a big sense of discipline. I grew up with enormous respect for my elders. You know, I just had to.
Yeah.
It's just something that is ingrained in you, I think. Back home in Hawaii and in the upbringing that I had.
Uh-huh.
You know, I really appreciate it. Never too strict, but nice and sturdy. Nice and sturdy with the discipline.
Well, what a beautiful environment to grow up in. I mean, you're surrounded by tropical plants, so it's almost like ingrained in you, I feel like, you know?
Right. Yeah, it becomes really normal.
Right.
It becomes really normal. And to come out here and experience drought-tolerant things, you know, and rain that fucking doesn't fall. I'm like, yeah. Wow, dude. It really blew my mind, to see the cactus thrive. And, you know, several people that I met, Gary Duke from Long Beach being one of the people. Yeah, you know what? He really had a grasp on my attention for a while. I when I met a man and he got to talking and I just shut up and listened, I really just fell in love with the cactus. You know, that's something that I think about often.
Yeah.
Because it was his love for it that really made me fall in love with it. More so than seeing just the spinations and colors of the plants, why you kind of fall in love with them yourself, his love for it.
Right.
And his age. And
yeah, you know, how many years has he been doing this?
You know, I think over 60.
Wow.
And he's just, the love doesn't diminish. It only gets greater. And it's just something that is inspiring. You know, that I could say.
That's beautiful.
Watching him and learning from him. I just asked him to pay a visit, dude. I started to learn about just the cactus community around over here in SoCal. And I realized that he was one of the older heads that was very informative. You know, he's a part of the cactus committees. I'm not sure which ones. I don't want to say which ones and stuff like that and be wrong.
Yeah, the cactus and succulent societies, I've seen those.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I'm not sure the names and stuff like that per se, but I know that people know his name, and that's the how I heard his name. And I figured, hey, man, maybe he'll let me come by and ask questions.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and really that's what I did. I asked him if I'd come maybe buy some plants and check it out. And me and my buddy Hansel, we went over there for the first time when I met him, and he was so gracious. Like, I look maybe not normal to a lot of people.
An elderly man from a different time, yeah.
Yeah, from a different time. You know, not a lot of people can, older people can kind of go with what's going on and continue with the change and accept that. But he, you know what, when I first met him, he just looked at me like anyone else. And the questions that I had for him, he answered them graciously and just was filled with knowledge, man. And I really, really took that to heart. You know, it was like, I have plants in the back that he gifted me cuttings because there was a Mirtillo cactus, a giant fucking one blooming in his backyard.
Mm-hmm.
It was blooming and it also had fruit on it, the seed pods. At the time, this was just about a year ago, I was like, oh, dude, those look like berries. And he's like, oh, that's the fruit. And me not really being too knowledgeable at the time, I figured, man, fruit, like cactus grow fruit.
Yeah.
Because he used that word, whereas it's actually a pollen, it's a seed pod, right? And I asked him if I could eat it. And I fucking ate it and he tripped out. He's like, man, you could totally eat it. And I ate it and it was sweet as fuck. It tasted like a grape. I made my buddy eat it. We were eating berries back there. And from there, I really, that plant. So why I said that story is because he gave me a cutting from that giant plant that I have in the backyard that's blooming this season now. And it's just something that I hold dear, those type of things, you know, experiences. Because I really went there to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And leaving with gifts that I didn't initially ask for. It was just something that he noticed that grabbed my attention. That it was a spark that he saw that I oh man, fruit, you know, I didn't notice why or what, but he noticed and he really catered to that, you know. And I can very much respect, and I only try to go toward that direction when I try to teach people about the plants or any questions that they have moving forward, right?
Well, I want to say that's pretty courageous of you as a new member to the plant, like the cactus and succulent community, to reach out to the big dog and be like, hey, I want to learn, man. So that just goes to show like how hungry you are for information and knowledge. I mean, that's really cool, man.
Oh, dude, I was bugging him. all the time, you know, I'd be bugging him. I'd call him. As soon as he gave me his number, hey, man, I call him. Hey, are you home? I am home. Come on by. Before I knew it, the side door would just be unlocked when I would show up. I would call, hey, I'm out front. The door's open. Come on in. And I'd awesome. Come around. Yeah, come on through. He's the man. You know, it was just plants 100%.
Yeah.
Awesome. And knowledge. You know, it wasn't just transactions, and it was just being buddies. And I really appreciated that he kind of took me under his wing, you know?
Yeah. An unlikely pair from the outside.
I would say, yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah. I would say so. Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I laugh when I see the photos, but it's cute too. Like, you know, this old man bonding with the younger cat, you know. And for those that are listening, Troy's blasted up. The tattoo is all onto his face and everything, you know. So it's just, it's beautiful to see that, you know.
It's yeah, really cool. It is.
Because cultural is. Differences nice. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I was very appreciative of that when I first met him, for sure. It's something that you notice when someone meets you right away.
Yeah.
You know, because I try to be my best self. I try to be easy to deal with, if you will. And I think that's all you can be when meeting someone new. Pleasurable, you know. Sure. But not everyone can judge you off of that.
Right.
And I've experienced that quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. I relate to that, too. In periods of time, you know, part of the reason why I wanted to have you come on was because I saw that you're in recovery, and congratulations on you just celebrated a year sober, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, the other day. Thank you.
That's beautiful. Yeah, man.
You know what? I smoke weed.
Yeah.
You know, I consider weed like a medicine.
It is.
The drugs that I was on before, and alcohol and things like that, it really took away from who I was and who I'm able to be.
Right.
You know, I can't say that maybe smoking weed is a good thing, but I will admit to that's a crutch that I still do hold, that I also don't see a problem with.
No, not at all.
You know, I've only made progression.
Yeah.
Since I've let other things go and kind of found myself.
Yeah.
Well, I think that. Oh no. Go on.
Oh, I was going to say, I struggled with substance abuse for many years. I'm actually outside of this, I'm a substance abuse counselor. I'm a program manager over at a rehab. I also believe in harm reduction, and that there's no like black and white approach to recovery. It's not met well in the industry that I work in, unfortunately. Like a lot of it is like 12 step based and stuff like that. And I don't want to get too into it, but I just took 2 years in January myself, and plants have been like, well, cactus and succulents in particular have been a huge contributing factor to, I believe, to me like becoming a better new version of myself. It's helped me through some very dark and difficult times, and it was something that I rediscovered because of my recovery. I loved plants back when I was young, but I kind of lost my sense of identity, and I was robbed of a life because of my substance use, you know. And when I came back, that's like the one thing I grabbed onto, and it helped me so much, man. And I'm really excited to meet somebody else that maybe incorporates that into their recovery as well, gardening and taking 100%. Care of plants. Yeah,
100%. Yeah, I feel that 100%, because you know, those types of battles, in my opinion, they're internal, right? They're things that you struggle with. And something that also is very personal would be caring for your plants. Even observing plants in habitat. You know, it's yes. very personal and spiritual, and you appreciate it within yourself. And I think when you can care for something and you can show yourself that you can care for something and let it thrive.
Right.
And watch it bloom and do all this shit and grow. It's really a learning lesson, and it without you noticing it at the time, maybe it's something that you can grab onto and say, well, hey, today was fucked up, but my plant looks dope right now. Dude, it's blooming.
That's right, bro. You're right.
You know, and you just have that minute and you go in the back and you breathe, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that plants really did incorporate great amounts of that into my life. You know, far and wide, staging, propagating, meeting new people, talking plants, all that shit. It's very positive. Yeah. And I didn't have a lot of that influence in my life before, if any, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's something that I really hold dear nowadays. I spend all day, man.
Right.
Plants, if it's not one thing, it's another related to them, right?
Yeah, I see your.
At least I try.
I see what you're doing, and you know, I'm fucking really stoked to have you on, man. That pottery that you're doing is dope, dude. Super dope.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? Where did you find your love
for
pottery?
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's really interesting too. Also, super new. I never, you know, I unfortunately didn't make it that far into school to get to. You know, it happens, and yeah. So. I wasn't able to experience ceramics class. Mm-hmm. Whereas I meet a lot of people and they're like, oh, you know, I fucked at that in high school and I had fun. And I'm like, dude, I'm trying to have fun right now because yeah. I never got to touch it. Right. Yeah. And so I would say about 4 months ago, I really started to appreciate and collect pots and planters, mostly from Instagram. I was noticing quite a few artists just being sick, dude. You know, there's too many to name. Mm-hmm. I have a vast collection. I'm a sicko with the dope pods. But yeah, really, I fell in love with that. And I started to personally meet, you know, some of my idols, which I would consider looking at their artwork. You know, I really idolized some of their work. And I started to personally meet them. And dude, everyone was just, they just got cooler. All these dudes are just nicer and informational and, you know, they're helpful. And I kind of got close with Johnny Pothead. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Sure.
He's over on, he's on Instagram. He's the man. Very beautiful work, you know. I got a little close with him and I asked him, dude, do you mind like running me a class? Like, what's up with the hand building class? Right. I didn't even know what hand building was. I just asked him if he would let me play with the clay at his house, really.
Uh-huh.
I asked him, I was like, dude, I'd take my shirt off, whatever it takes. Just know I'll show up. And he's like, all right, man, you know, let's do it. And he invited me over and he said, well, I kind of assumed, okay, we're going to, if I can take our shirts off, we're going to get on the wheel.
Yeah.
Possible he'll be behind me. I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but I knew I wanted to do it.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, no, look, this is what we'll do. It's going to be hand building. And so what hand building is you just kind of take a chunk of clay, get it balled up. And really hand building varies into any technique. What I'm describing is a pinch pot.
Okay.
Hand building is just when you're working with the clay without the wheel, really.
Okay.
Making something, right? Sculpting.
This is all new to me.
Oh, okay. So I was misinterpreting that. Hand building is just working with the clay in general. A pinch pot was what he suggested that I learned with was you make a ball of clay, drive a hole down the center, not all the way through, and from there you pinch out the form of the pot that you'd like.
Okay.
Varying in shape and size, right? And also uniformity of the walls. It really, I was like, damn, this is the first time I've ever touched clay. It was incredible to me that these dudes are throwing these shapes and making the clay do what they want. Really, when I first touched it, I couldn't believe it. This dude is a wizard, right? In front of my eyes, I couldn't believe it. And I slapped together something, he fired it for me. Big Johnny has a kiln, so he took care of that for me, ran it multiple times. It needs to be ran once, which is a bisque firing. Mm-hmm. And if you're planning on glazing or doing anything like that, you'll do those applications and then run it again in another firing to complete. So he went through those steps for me just so I could have my pot, right? Super sweet guy. And I got the pot. And dude, that right there, that moment of getting the pot, really, it wasn't making it, or it was kind of getting it and seeing the finished product. It was that spark. I was like, wow, I could do this and make these pots for my own plants? Right. I just kept seeing my plants being in all the pots that I made, and how pretty would that be?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I started to take it serious, and I followed his suggestions, and I went and I took a class, which was over there in San Pedro at Blue Water.
Okay.
Blue Water Clay. Yeah, I'm actually a member there right now. But at the time, it was just classes, and I took a class. I realized what I wanted to do just by messing with the clay, and I was like, you know what, dude? I think that I can have fun with this. And I kind of moved my workstation into the backyard. In my backyard, I have a section. It's like a barbecue type fold-out table. And I just throw down clay on there.
That's dope, dude.
Yeah. I just play around in the backyard. So I kind of move all my work from there to the studio. So I'm still a part of that studio that I initially took classes in after.
Awesome.
Johnny got me hooked. Yeah. And it all just went from there, man. I didn't ever stop.
There's like
I keep making those shits.
That's dope, man. There's like your mm-hmm. very abstract style to what you're doing, right? I mean,
thanks.
None of them are ever the same. No two look alike. They're unique.
Yeah, I try. You know, I be wild with it.
Yeah,
I love because it. Another thing is the pinch pots.
Uh-huh.
I really find it difficult to even make the same shape over and over again. It always looks different.
Yeah,
it always looks different because I'll use either a different weight of clay, or I'll just start the hole in a different part of the ball of clay. I don't know. There's so many options.
Yeah, you can kind of just try anything, right?
Anything. And the more people that I meet that are into ceramics, that becomes more apparent that it's fucking endless possibilities with it, you know?
Right.
Whatever you can dream, you can see if it's possible or not.
So do you find inspiration from like Japanese pottery or?
I do. Yeah. You know what?
Because I can see it in your work.
Oh, thank you so much. And I look at, you know, that's another thing that I don't know a lot of the names for.
Yeah, that's okay.
The terminology. That's but yeah, dude, I go down rabbit holes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I'll trip on pottery. A lot of the Japanese work is just interests me because it seems very timeless. It seems like it's, you know, very old techniques that they're reincorporating or they're, you know, reapplying to new shapes, whether or even keeping the same shapes. Mm-hmm. The more I look in depth of pottery, the more I find it's endless. You know, mm-hmm. it's a super old art. It's really cool.
Ancient art form, for sure.
Yeah. I really fell in love with it.
That's awesome. So do you find something like spiritual about it as well?
I definitely do.
I think there is.
Oh man, I could go forever about that. Yeah, I just really get in deep with it. You know, when I first started to make pots at home,
mm-hmm.
I could kind of tune everything else out. I can in my safe place.
Yeah,
and I could let myself kind of be spiritual with it, and you know, I like to say take my shirt off.
Let your hair down?
It really. And that's what I mean by that. Yeah. And that's what I mean by that is just, you know, fully relaxing and letting it flow. You know, that's what a lot of those shapes come from. The clay just wants to be that. And so I let it be that the best I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really free flowing stuff. I don't have a lot of like shapes in mind when I start, you know, kind of just bees what it wants to.
Yeah. That's awesome, mm-hmm. man.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate that.
I have to say, I watch your stories, man, and you are so authentically yourself, and I really appreciate that. you know? I really do.
Thanks, dude. Yeah. Thank you.
You're a unique cat, and that's why I wanted to have you on.
Oh, thanks.
And I like your artwork too, man. What kind of plants, what kind of cactus and succulents are you growing over there?
Oh my gosh, everything.
Everything? Do you have a favorite?
Everything. Do I have a favorite? You know what? My favorite right now is definitely agaves. Yeah, I went in deep with agaves, super deep. Yeah, I started to learn more about them and look at the different forms and have talks with people who are very knowledgeable about agaves. And I just went deep with those. Dude, my backyard right now has about 20, 25 different agaves on the ground.
Is it accurate to say
that I'm losing my mind?
Is it accurate to say that you've channeled maybe that darkness or that addiction from the past into something positive and fulfilling? Would it be accurate to say your addiction could, like, your past with that feeds your passion for what you're doing now?
I would say that would, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I try not to. This is the thing. When I think of myself an addict, which I am, and then I look at this fucking collection of plants that I've acquired,
right,
very, very quickly.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's only been a year, dude. And I kind of take a step back, like, whoa, dude, am I addicted?
Yeah.
But then, hey, you know, it is a positive thing. And never in my life have I been into something that I can grow from and build on.
Yeah.
You know, it's a healthy addiction.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. But, you know, it's this, it's the damn plants, but I struggle with that term for whatever reason.
Yeah.
The being addicted. Damn it. You know,
I don't like identifying as an addict either. Still, I'm, you know, maybe mm-hmm. at one time I am a man in recovery. I also don't like claiming sobriety, but we're like, I don't want to get too off topic, bro, but like, yeah, man, I think it's like, it's defining you by continuing to right. identify that way, you know what
yeah.
I mean? But what I was getting at is like, cool. when I look around at my newer greenhouse too, you know, I could see the little bit of addict behavior in there because it's getting a little out of control. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 For sure. And I think that's another, that addict inside of myself, I'd say, creeping out when I wouldn't like it to, you know, and I think that that's part of my personality, that it's always going to be there. And it's just about putting that part of my personality towards the right things.
Yeah.
So maybe being addicted to good vibes and being fucking chill, maybe that's cool, man. You know,
yeah.
maybe that's okay. But balance is definitely what I find to be the most healthy thing.
And that's part of what I'm trying to do too, is like amend and like, you know, give back. Cause I took for so many years, you know, from everybody around me. And, there's something that the plants have done for me that like, I can't explain, man. And I identify with what you were saying about it being spiritual too. Cause like there's something like, it's a ritual. It's something that I do every single day ritualistically. And, it gives me a sense of purpose, and it's just watching them grow. It's unexplainable, man. It's unexplainable.
It is. I think that you're totally right. It's something that unless you can plant yourself, you can't really fully explain it to someone else.
Right.
Someone who has never tended plants, right? Tending animals and things like that, I think that it's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But when you tend your plants, that you put those things in the pot.
Yeah.
Like from where they're supposed to be in the ground or wherever, or when you grew them, you decided that they're going to live in a pot. And I think that that's a responsibility that you should take hold of and make sure that it's okay. That potted plant, you know, and it's thriving and it's happy.
Yeah.
And that's a connection that I for sure think is spiritual.
And it's a connection to Mother Earth. We are tending to our planet every day, living beings that are coming from our Earth, and that's so cool, man.
You know, what one thing that I see is that when I'm taking care of a plant and it doesn't seem to be happy, it's not always that I'm not doing the right thing or I'm not, you know, watering it enough or something like that. I sometimes just feel like I wasn't paying attention to it. I really honestly feel that way. Yeah. I sometimes will have a plant that's not happy right there. And I'm like, oh man, you know what? I forgot about that guy back there. And I'll pick him up and I'll dust him off and repot him and clean his roots out. You know, maybe it was in a root ball. And there he goes, like the next week, blooming.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I think that when you love your plants, they return that same thing. They return that same love.
Absolutely.
You know, they show you things that you were unaware of. Cactus especially, and it's something that being new into the cactus, I'm super blown away still. I'll see a plant that I've had quite some time is, you know, 6 months or so, and it's throwing this flower. All of a sudden it has this bud on it, and then it has this flower, and the flower smells like shit. Like a dead thing. And I'll, dude, those are my favorite. Stapelia and Orbias, those like carry-on flowers, I believe they're called. They're some of my favorite things. That's one of the things that also grabbed hold of me.
Yeah.
When I went to Gary's and I walked, you know, into the back of his house, and I smelled this very putrid smell, very like distinct, you know. And I'm like, man, what, trying to just be pleasant and ignore it, that we're all smelling this, right? And walking through, you know, talking, and we get around this it's the Orbia, not variegata, it's the larger one, but anyway, we get around it, and I noticed, dude, it's swarmed with flies. And like, you know, at first I looked and I was like, whoa, what the fuck, like there's like food over there or something. And when I look again, no, there wasn't food. It was this beautiful, hairy flower that there's all fly eggs in, and the flies are having a grand old time, and it smells like total shit. And it was like one of the raddest things I've ever seen.
I'm curious, does that smell exist to protect itself, to like maybe like, you know, does it like exist to keep away predators or somebody from eating it maybe?
So actually, what I think that from what I've learned, is it the smell is to attract the pollinators, and the pollinators are the flies.
Okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
It's actually to attract and even the flower themselves. That one in particular, the name is slipping my mind right now, but it mimics like a dead carcass, a dead animal, the hairs on it.
Mm-hmm.
It, the texture of the actual flower petal itself, it looks sort of like skin.
How interesting.
Yeah, it's super trippy. It stinks. It's fucking rad. I collect them now.
Okay.
I collect Orbia and Stapelia. And so this season, some other ones bloom, the variegata and stuff. And that's some of my favorite things to show my daughters.
Uh-huh.
Especially my oldest. She's 5, and I love when they bloom. I love when they bloom because I can bring them right up to the, oh my God. I'll say, oh my God. Look how gorgeous this flower is, girls.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous. And so why not, you know, smell it so deeply?
And then they're like, what?
Yeah, that was a really quick joke, because Lovely doesn't smell any flowers anymore that look like that.
She doesn't trust you anymore to smell the flowers.
She's so funny. She'll make her younger sister smell them.
How funny.
Yeah, those are really fun.
Cactus flowers really are interesting, like especially night blooming flowers, the ones that are opening, like for example, I grow a lot of Peruvian apple cactus for whatever reason. They bloom one night a year. So then when the flower blooms, it opens just for one night. Mm-hmm. And it's for bats actually to come. And I guess the bats are doing the pollinating. And the flower will open one night, and then that's it. It's done. So you got to catch it that one night. It's so interesting.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I've got some. Yeah, I've got some on my page, some pictures of the flowers open at night. Yeah, nice. But it's like a big bat signal, just this big white and yellow, strange-looking flower coming off. Doesn't matter what size the cactus is either. It could be like a tiny little guy, but it could have these giant flowers. It's crazy.
Oh, really? Yeah. How cool. Mm. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, pollinators, man. I had another talk with someone about the Orbia I was talking about, and he was describing the way that the pollinating works very intricately, and also he doesn't seem to fully understand that it's kind of like a lock and key mechanism with the fly's feet. Their legs kind of land in this lock and key mechanism within the flower itself, yeah, and kind of unhook the pollen.
So it's like made for them. They were made for one another.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very interesting, those ones, yeah. Orbia stapelias.
That's fascinating. It's such an endless really topic. Is. The plants and cactus, even just, I get lost in cactus all the time too. Just, it's so vast, the different types and, you know, all their different purposes. And when you're not, so I love to learn about that. Like what purpose did they serve in nature? You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting. I know just those bits that I brushed on because that I got lost in looking into it myself, right? Like, why the fuck does it smell like shit? And it's amazing. It's beautiful, right? Because it really is striking. They're some of the most beautiful flowers that I've seen.
What kind?
Very intricate.
What kind? If you don't mind me asking, what kind of plants were you growing prior, like back home?
Oh, weed.
Yeah.
Weed plants. Not really any plants myself. You know, I was kind of running around being a kid back home. You know, really when I came out to California and kind of started to have a young family, did I find healthy habits?
Right.
Which were growing plants, right? Something that I could stay home and still very much so have fun, you know?
Right.
In my opinion, much more fun than I was ever really having.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah, dude. For yeah, sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's,
yeah.
You know, you get blinded.
I really appreciate those little moments now, man, like more than ever, just being present with my kids. You know, I'm a father too, and being able to share that, especially like the love for nature and plants, and I'm hoping to pass that down, you know, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
I can only hope. But, you know, it's a certain type of person that's into plants. I think it's like we're born like that, you know, as tenders to, you know, nature or whatever, to plants. So I can only hope that my kids, or at least one of them, will take on that too, you know, and I can pass it down.
Right. Yeah, it's funny that you said that, because I've always – I felt that way. I've always kind of been a caretaker, if you will, to the younger ones, like my cousins' kids or maybe younger kids, my younger cousins. I've always, you know, been helpful or wanted to. I've found that I got satisfaction out of helping others.
Yeah.
And it's funny because now I have satisfaction in helping my plants, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's just something that people, when you're a person that finds joy in caregiving, I think that taking care of plants is something that you'll really enjoy.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're your friends. They're members of your community. Dude.
Big time, big time. Yeah, when I want to go and really just chill out with my homies, dude, it's in the back. It's in my backyard with the plants, man. Yeah, it's quiet. And bringing my kids along with the plant, it's something that it's a really interesting thing, the cactus.
Yeah.
And having young children, because it teaches them to respect them.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, my middle child is a little wild, more wild, should I say, than my older. And she gets poked all the time. She respects him, but she's still like, well, if I'd only bump you this hard, if I can only get poked this hard.
Yeah.
Right? Or two. Yeah, so that's kind of when you see the personalities differences.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of them will be like, oh my god, dad, like, your primrose is getting your plant, and primrose, she wants to throw that thing in the air, see how high she can throw it.
It's just like a kid's nature to want to touch it, though, you know, the thorns,
dude. It's yeah, you know, you can't be mad.
Yeah,
I just only trip out,
right?
Like, I to see the differences in them, it's very fun.
Yeah,
I have fun every day hanging out with them. Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate that I get to spend a lot of time with them, you know, after this COVID thing, with COVID and everything that's happened. I've been fortunate enough to get to spend a lot of time with my kids, time that I didn't normally used to get to spend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been really nice for me having a clear head.
Yeah.
And teaching them things that, you know, I would really like to ingrain those certain lessons that I would like I can follow through with.
That's so beautiful, man.
Mm.
And what, at least, yeah, you know, and it gives you guys something to do. It's always there. They're always there. You know, there's always work to be done when it comes to having a garden, you know?
That's so true. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, like I was, you know, saying earlier about the weeding.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Those kids, man, to work.
Yeah, man, exactly. They still don't listen to me. I still am out there weeding by myself, but. Maybe one day.
Right.
When the weeding comes in, it's like, okay, we're going to fucking go get a snack right now. Right. Not getting no weeds out of there. No. Yeah. Sweethearts.
So when you're, what do you got coming up here? What are you working on? I know you're working on a collection right now for this upcoming show, right?
Yeah, I am. Actually, we have a show in a couple days. It's over there at Gary Baldo's Nursery.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really fun. Yeah, there's going to be quite a few vendors there. Or I'm going to be bringing pots, shirts, salsa.
Nice.
Myself. Yeah, dude, we'll have fun. And the buddies are going to be bringing quite a bit of cool stuff. I know Gary Duke is going to have a bunch of cool plants. All the vendors, I'm sure, are going to be bringing the good vibes and their fucking masks, you know?
Yeah,
it should be really cool. Yeah, I actually been working for a couple months for, I would say, this sale. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been making pots for a minute for it. As soon as that we kind of knew that we were gonna do it, I was like, all right, well, I'll start making them now, because the pots take me a bit to make. You know, I do pinch pots with each of them, and I transport them to and from the studio to get them fired. So it's a task for me,
yeah.
But I get it done. And it's also like one of the first events that I've done, like a little show, bringing pots of my own, you know? So it's a good learning experience. Yeah. Yeah.
Exciting.
It's a good learning experience. Really? Yeah. Really exciting. Really cool.
They're looking good, man. I've been seeing your little previews. They're looking good.
Oh, thanks, dude. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I keep a lot of them.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, because you know what? That's why I started making them. Like I was telling you, I really got that first one, and I was like, damn, dude, that's really cool to have pots of your own, you know, that you could have made and keep forever. Ceramics, it's another thing that when I started to tell people, family members and things, that, oh, I'm making like ceramic pots, almost all of them would have something that they'd pull out of the cabinet or something, like, oh my god, look at what your cousin made, or your uncle, yeah, or some shit. Yeah, it's something that you can kind of keep for a long time, and people treasure it.
You could last thousands of years.
Good.
In theory. That's right.
Yeah.
We dig up a lot of old pottery.
It's so true. Yeah, yeah. So I've even tried. I've been trying to steer more towards kind of serving vessels. I'd love to make some cereal bowls. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Salsa bowl. Juice cup.
Why not, bro?
Hey,
don't go buy any of that shit now.
No, exactly.
Because you can do it yourself.
Uh-huh. No, I know it. Yeah, the possibilities are endless.
I don't think I'd like a variegated Troy cereal bowl for myself.
Dude, I'll hook you up. Let me know.
That'd be dope.
Yeah, I think so. I'd appreciate it if... you know, I would really get quite a bit of joy had I seen a photo of someone like, oh man, I really like my cereal bowl that I use every day. I'm like, dude, what? Oh yeah, that, you know, touches the heart.
Yeah.
Planters are something special, but then when you can make a vessel that, you know, I don't know if you're a coffee drinker, but
absolutely.
So, you know, so everyone has their coffee cup, dude, and you have that coffee cup for a reason, you know, and I'd love to make some special ones. That'd one day, cool. You know? Yeah, I really would. Something that I'd love to do.
So, or do you have are you going to do e-commerce at all, or are you going to only do in shows, in person?
You know what? I'm really not sure. It's just...
It's kind of going with the flow.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it kind of just started as art, and I kind of want to just keep it at that.
Yeah.
You know, this show that I did, like I said, is a learning experience. It's something that I can learn from, and I can go from there. Right? And I think that I'd like to keep it more towards the art side and having fun, relaxing.
Yeah.
Rather than meeting deadlines.
Right.
I don't know if I'm cut out for the deadlines, man. Yeah, I don't know if I'm cut out for it. I just like to relax. That's, you know? Cool.
That's cool. I feel that completely.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. But also be productive, right? I just want to, like, I started it as art. I didn't really intend for it to be a business, the pottery,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I really want to make sure that I find myself again and continue it as just being art. Because when I look at the pieces that I create, when I kind of let myself go and making the art, they're really special to me. And I would hope that people can appreciate that and see that in the art, rather than if I was to lose myself and just start punching out pots for the time, for the deadline, you know?
On a mass level, they might lose some of their like sentiment or something.
Yeah, I think so, because then I would lose the enjoyment in making them.
Right.
You know, I really kind of, I have fun, man. I get super dirty. I take the clay, I go like this, down the forehead. <That's> No, cool. Yeah, I have a blast with the clay. It's really cool. You can be a kid, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Working with your hands too.
Yeah, and it's something that I can bring the girls in anytime that they want to jam with the clay. I can always give them some clay, you know, they can mess around.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of, how long of a process are we talking here for each individual pot? I mean, obviously it differs, right? It differs depending on what you're trying to do, or.
So how long that it takes me to make it?
Yeah. Like, well, okay. I will start with carving it out, I guess. What would you call it?
Well, I pinch it, really.
Pinching it out.
I kind of just squeeze the clay into the form that I want it to be.
Uh-huh.
So I don't really remove any of the clay. Like, it starts as a ball, and I poke a hole down the center, and then you pinch your index finger and your thumb, and you just squeeze the walls up to the side, whichever shape that you really want. And then you follow it around, you know, you kind of form that planter or whatever shape that you're going for, cup, bowl.
Uh-huh.
I think it takes me, I don't know, man. You know, I don't ever really look at the clock.
Yeah, that's great.
And I get lost in making them. Like I said, I try to really get into my artsy mode, man, and I'll just lose myself in making the pots.
What kind of artwork, you know, do you have in your past? I feel like this isn't just pottery. I feel like there's more to the story.
You know what, man? Not much, other than painting.
Uh-huh.
And drawing. Yeah, painting and drawing. I never really put it into a form, though, and been able to appreciate it. Like, I don't have any paintings from the past that I have that I've done that I'm like, man, yeah, that's an old painting that I did. So all of this stuff, you know, it's really new. It's really new to be able to create something and then appreciate it and have the clear head the whole way through.
Right.
Yeah. It's something really new for me.
And commit to one, you know, one thing, you know,
right,
all your
energy
and
love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And still using those things. Like I really enjoy planting plants or my cactus from like their plastic pots into a nice pot. I really like that.
Yeah.
There's something special about putting those plants in something that you made yourself or something that someone else has made. That's yeah. gorgeous, you know, and that's really how I fell in love with it. Seeing the other people who would create beautiful work. It's super cool.
I very much appreciate the pottery, and it's something that I'm just now like kind of transitioning to from having, because I grew a lot of cannabis too growing up. So I'm very used mm-hmm. to just plastic pots, you know.
Right.
But
yeah,
all my, most of my cactus, most of my plants are in plastic pots in the yard, but I've just started to appreciate and incorporate pottery and or like, you know, stones and lava. Like even just putting in some lava in a plastic pot makes it look and it feels, there's something that feels different about like a finished plant, you know, mm-hmm. or like you're mm-hmm. giving it a nice home, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. There's different aesthetics. I also feel, you know, people think it's awesome when people have very just pots that it looks like it's just, you know, their substrate and the plant's just shining. It's just being itself, right? But there I also definitely is an art in staging and
yeah,
making it beautiful.
Even matching the plant to the pottery. So there's like an endless art form starting from the clay and the plant itself evolving all the way until it comes together. That's so cool, man. I never mm-hmm. really realized that, like how many different steps that are along the way before it becomes a fully staged plant, you know?
Right. Yeah. I'm really learning that also. You know, it started as, oh, like, look at this plant, or vice versa. Look at this pot, what plant can match it and so, but now I look at my plants and I'll just get this idea like, wow, that plant would look awesome in something shaped like this or, you know, something wild or this color or that color. Yeah, it's something that I really have fun with.
Yeah, they can complement one another.
Right. Yeah. And also, having people stoked about the art is so fun.
Yeah.
And so new for me. Seeing I really appreciate that. Yeah, I really appreciate that. And getting to see people's photos and cool stuff that they do with the pots. It's really special. Something that I'm super new to, super appreciative for.
That's beautiful, man.
I it's really cool.
Yeah.
New stuff, you know.
Okay. Well, where can people find you on? Do you have a website, or where can people find you on Instagram?
Working on the website. Just the Instagram for now, dude. It's Variegated Troy.
Okay.
Yeah. Variegated Troy. I've only had it for like a year or two. As soon as I started getting a lot of plants, I had another Instagram, right? I have like my Instagram with just old buddies and random things, right? Things that I probably didn't need to be looking at. Right. And when I started to really get into plants and my buddy Hansel, he was like, dude, you should look at like the plant fucking community that's going down. And I was like, what? Like plant community? What's that?
Uh-huh.
And I kind of got into that, like what it was. And I made my own plant Instagram. And I was like, dude, you know what? This is like, if I'm going to be on my phone at all, I'll be looking at plants because I really, it's like I'm learning all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'll look at something, I'll get curious, and then I'll be on the internet. And I'm like, damn, how does that bloom? Or what pollinates this, or da da da, and then I'm learning again, right? It's a hobby that I got myself into that I can learn every day as much as I'd like to, you know?
Yeah, dude, I get lost in that shit too. I'm going to these rabbit holes. Next thing you know, I'm like 20 different pages in, you know?
And you know so much.
Yeah.
And you know so much now. You're like, damn, right. Wow. Yeah.
Fully self-taught.
Yeah, and so that Variegated Troy Instagram, dude, that's the only thing that I have there on the social media now, because I don't see any other reason to be there. The plants are the only reason. And
Oh, so you've cool gotten rid of your other handles or whatever, yeah, any personal account?
Yeah, because, like, you know what, dude? I only like to immerse myself in that plant stuff and positive things, and I really feel that the other stuff that was going on was everything but positive.
Yeah.
You know, and for whatever reason, everyone that seems to be involved in this plant community, this online plant community, is all very, they mean well. Everyone seems to mean well, you know, and they want to be friends and they want to uplift each other and they want to see each other win.
Yeah.
It's from what I've experienced.
And yeah, absolutely.
It's really great. It's refreshing.
Good vibes and pure intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the polar opposite of what I was living like for a long time, you know, so it's new exactly. to me too. And I'm adjusting and, you know, sometimes I struggle to communicate with people, you know, cause I feel like a misfit or, you know, there's like so much darkness in my past. So it's difficult. You know, I have like some interpersonal skills that I need to work on, and I'm mm-hmm. hoping that this podcast can do that for me. You know, like I want to be a better listener. I want to like take on new information, and, you know, all of us are from such different walks of life. So it's so cool, you know, but I really relate to you a lot. And I'm truly inspired by you and your page. I'm even inspired by what you just said with the Instagram thing. I think about that often because the only time I ever go onto my other page, I'll post pictures of the kids. But like, mm-hmm. it's nice to be able to keep in touch with family, but there's something so toxic sometimes about the social media. Aside from the plant community, when I go to my plant page, it's like just, you know, just plants.
Right. That's it's it. Just plants.
Just plants, yeah, yeah. And positivity. Every once in a while, there's a little bit of politics, and, you know, I don't really care for that too much. But
I just try to shy away from that and not, yeah. you know,
plants and politics don't mix well.
They don't, you know. But no, exactly right. That whole thing with social media and stuff, it just wasn't for me, you know. I was finding myself looking at stuff that wasn't doing anything for me, you know, maybe even making me sad without realizing it.
Yeah.
Things that, you know, maybe you don't have or you want or you think you want.
Yeah.
It's just, it's nice to have something like your plants.
Right.
To be proud of.
Yeah.
And also have other people appreciate.
Yes.
Like, there's something unexplainable about going and like staging up a plant or getting a plant in a pot, and you're like in your head, right? You're like, damn, dude, I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna so make a sick post. Right? Yeah. Like, everyone can, all the plant people can relate to that, because it's something so like harmless and
yeah.
so fun. You like. You really get a kick out of it, right? And I think that the other people that participate in the liking, commenting, and appreciating, like, wow, that's cool, right? It's fun, yeah. you know, and it's something that I think we all need.
Yeah, we get to showcase our work and interact with one another.
Yeah, it's just it's a little break, you know, from
yeah.
everyone's life, everyone's hardships that they might be going through. You can post that sick-ass plant, dude, and get a bunch of appreciation.
Yeah, plant therapy. You know? Plant therapy is very real.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I trip out there all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I struggle with some mental health disorders, man. And the plants have helped me immensely. Like, it's the biggest part of my self-care for sure. If not, maybe sometimes the only thing I'm doing to fulfill myself is to care for my plants, but I like to run and I like to do other artwork like photography and stuff like that. I like to make music, but the thing that I like about the plants is that it's always there no matter what, kind of like what we were saying earlier, you know. And I can just walk outside the front door, or, you know, right behind me there's some plants. It's always there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. You can always surround yourself with it.
Yeah.
You know, there's very few places that you'll find yourself where there's not a plant growing somewhere.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I started to realize that once I fell in love with the plants in general. and I would be away from my collection, or I would be on the road. Mm-hmm. And dude, I started to notice everything. I started to notice fucking weeds, and I started to notice trees and the different trees, and like everything started to stand out that was living.
Yes.
You know, all those things, and everything became important. And I found that when I was, you know, in the car, in the passenger seat driving, and maybe it was boring or whatever, I'd be possibly staring at my phone, looking at, you know, random shit. Instead, I was like out the window like a kid.
Yeah.
Looking at which trees I could, the different trees. Like, it's just something that I'm very appreciative to have found.
I'm so happy you know? You said that, because I relate to that a lot. Like, even in an agave in a parking lot, I'm like, what is that? What kind of agave is that?
Right, you know?
Or what kind of succulent is that? What kind of cactus is that? I'll start looking at it, and I appreciate it, and I see everything, you know? It's like a new pair of lenses that I look at with the world. Like, I've always loved and cared for plants, but not like it is now. There's something different this time around, you know, that I really appreciate. And I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Something definitely switched.
Yeah.
You know, I started to be very much more appreciative and aware. And you know, I'll go ahead and say this. You take it out if you'd like, but when I was struggling with addiction, mm-hmm. and getting sober, I was sober. I was even stopped. I was off the weed and everything. And I was like, you know what? I just need to totally be sober. I need to be fucking sober. That's what I need. I was sober for a bit, a couple weeks, and there's something burning inside of me. Like, I needed something, you know, I needed something to mm-hmm. change me. I wasn't comfortable. Mm-hmm. I wasn't comfortable being sober. I wasn't comfortable being myself.
Yeah.
And I was finally myself, and I hated it. Right.
Yeah.
And I was, yeah, yeah. And what I found was mushrooms. You know, I took a pretty heavy dose of mushrooms.
Yeah.
And what I was looking for was to get high. But what I found was a life-altering experience.
Yes.
It changed me. It changed me the way that I thought, the way that I looked at things, the way I looked at others.
Yes.
The way that I looked at myself. Mm-hmm. It was like this grand sweep that it wasn't right away. It was probably several days after that initial dose. It was the reflection on what had just happened. And you know what? It just cleared everything. It cleared that itch to want to be high.
Yeah.
I was comfortable being myself. And I knew that was when I knew that, okay, look, I'll smoke weed and I'll be okay. And I don't need to be whatever sober is for that label for anyone else. It's mm-hmm. how I feel. And that's what became important. And really, dude, that's what washed everything away, and it cleared everything up.
You're not the first person I've heard say that. I have a really close friend of mine that was able to overcome like methadone or what, some kind of medication maintenance with LSD. And I have some experience with psychedelics that have been life-changing, and I'll remember them forever. And they've helped me grow in ways that I didn't think was possible. And I'm really glad that you brought that up, because it's a topic that I do want to talk about. You know, and I hope this isn't the only time we do this. I hope that we can talk some more about that, specifically mushrooms.
Oh, for sure, dude. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I was saying, I have some mental health disorders. Specifically, I have post-traumatic stress disorder, and mushrooms have been a game changer when nothing else has worked. It's strange. It's very strange how much it relieves my anxiety. It gives me motivation. I feel more connected to the earth. I feel more connected spiritually, just more grounded, calmer. My nerves are so bad, and it helps a lot, man. Helps a lot.
No, right. I, if anything, I've found to be the biggest self-help tool. The more people that I realize the more people that I meet that, you know, are comfortable enough to open up about it.
Yeah.
Or have been kind of brave enough to take that step when they want help, or they're looking for some tool. and mushrooms. You know, you hear mushrooms, and you're like, yeah. Dude, like, whoa, that's gnarly. But it's really, it's the stigmatism around it that's gnarly.
Sure.
You know, being okay with yourself, dude, nothing's gnarly about that. It's fucking rad to be cool with yourself. And that's not condoning anyone to be like, you know what, fucking mushrooms and you'll be sick and you'll be cool with yourself. It's just something that worked for me. It's definitely something that worked for me, dude. Like, I can only speak on that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Right. Cause, things that I've been through and crazy things that I've dealt with and problems that I've had, it wasn't as easy to overcome being newly sober. I struggled a lot with, you know, the past.
Yeah.
And, moving forward is much more important to me now.
Absolutely.
And building on that.
No, there's something sacred about them and they should be treated with respect, which is something I didn't give them when I was like a teenager, you know, doing shrooms, right. You know, just trying to have fun and stuff. But now I'm like trying to learn. They have, it's a different intention, and I treat them very much with respect and I'm very careful with it. You know, but that's nobody, you don't hear people saying that they're addicted to mushrooms, you know, it's pretty rare. Mm-hmm. And I think it's actually quite the opposite, that they are, it's helping people with their addictions. That and ayahuasca, ibogaine. I know there's been like some miraculous efforts with the ibogaine down in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of that stuff?
I haven't. It's like, you know what? It's so, the psychedelics thing, I totally believe in it. Right. But again, I'm an addict. And so when I find myself looking into substances, I nip that in the bud.
Right. Okay.
Because why I was looking into the mushrooms to begin with was because I was looking for something to be high. Right.
Sure.
Looking for something to change myself. And fortunately enough, what I found was something totally opposite. And I just stay thankful for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't get me wrong. I totally can appreciate people finding help with natural medicines and psychedelics. I just don't know if I'm the one to condone it. Right.
Right.
Because coming from where I've come from, it's, it was a crazy thing to have.
Right.
Found that off of what you're looking for, the kind of the realization, the spiritual realization.
I appreciate your careful approach to this topic for sure. I think we're at a turning point too in society where I think I saw something California just is presenting some kind of measure for all psychedelics to be legalized, to be shared, and for medicinal purposes. So I think we're going to be at a turning point where this is going to be we're going to be having a different conversation when it comes to those kinds of things than we did in the past.
Right.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your experience with me. Troy, I'm really looking forward to continuing to grow together. And we've got this show coming up right here this weekend. Is it this weekend?
It's this weekend, but yeah, I'm excited. It's
the 27th and 28th?
Right? Yeah, February 27th, 28th at Garrett Baldo's Nursery. Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be there on Saturday, brother.
Oh, yeah? Nice. Nice.
For sure.
Yeah, dude. Looking forward to seeing you.
Me too, man.
I have a salsa and all types of shit. Cool shirt.
Righteous.
Oh, yeah. You know what? What do you think, man? Green salsa or red?
I'm a red salsa kind of guy, but...
Are you?
Green's interesting. Plants. Green goes more with, like, plants, I feel like.
That's true. Yeah, I think I might have to go with the red. It's traditional.
What does green and red make when you mix them together? Do we know?
Purple.
Is it?
I don't know.
These dudes ran out of something to talk about. They started talking about mixing colors of salsa.
So funny.
No, thank you so much. I'm very grateful for this conversation, brother. I'm going to clean this up and put it together, and I'm going to put it out today, bro. So I know a lot of people are looking forward to this conversation. You know, it's funny. I never even met you, and I'm going around talking about you, bro. I'm like, I'm going to be doing this show with him, you know, because everyone's like, who's coming on? And I've got this plant geneticist and biologist that went to Berkeley, an old high school friend of mine. He studied all that kind of stuff. He's coming on. I'm sure he's gonna blow my mind, man. I'm just really looking forward to this, dude, and seeing what we can all do together as a community.
It's gonna be cool. Yeah, you know, like with those type of dudes, fucking ask questions.
Yeah, man.
Listen, you know, because I enjoy listening to people talk about knowledge, dude, and those type of people that you seem to be wanting to have, I'd enjoy to hear them talk.
Awesome.
You know, and yeah, learn. Yeah. You know, that's something really cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did a bunch of studies with the peyote cactus and the San Pedro cactus at Berkeley, and he's got slides, and I'm still trying to figure out how to technologically how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to incorporate video for sure and his slides. But I'll see you this Saturday, bro. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, dude. Yeah, you're so welcome. All right, brother. Have a good rest of your day, bud.
You too. Peace.
Thank you, dude. Later.